May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always accepted in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 27, verse 38. Esau said to his father, "Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. I'd like us to consider a two-part question. Do we take the short-term view or the long-term view? And what blessing could we reject or accept? Do we take the short-term view or the long-term view? And what blessing could we reject or accept? Sadly, there are those who do not know the contents of the Bible, and worse still, say daft things like the Bible is just full of stories, suggesting it's made up. Well, of course, the Bible has all sorts of writings in it. There are letters, there are poems, there is wisdom, there is history, etc., etc. And an expert in religious text pointed out that a unique feature of our religious text, our Bible, is that there's a dialogue between God and humans, and humans and God. That's unique to our faith. It doesn't occur in other religious texts, I gather. In other words, there's a relationship between God and humans. Well, we just had some history read to us, chapter 27 of Genesis. And during this past week or so, I've been saying to people that I'd be preaching on the twin grandsons of Abraham. And I'd then pause when I say that to see if they knew I was referring to Esau and Jacob. To be fair, a few did actually know. At first glance, that story is quite a shocker. The father offering his blessing to the eldest son, and the mother taking advantage of the situation and pushing forward the younger instead. According to Primogenitor, not right at all. Well, let's just remind ourselves of who is in this account. After all, it's very much about people. We need to go back to 2000 BC, 4,000 years ago, when Abraham produced a son called Ishmael through his maidservant Hagar. And soon after that, produced a son called Isaac from his wife Sarah. Hagar and Ishmael eventually left and went to North Africa. And then Isaac, later in his life, married Rebekah, and they had twin boys, Esau and Jacob. A little family tree for you. I feel sorry for Isaac. He lives under the shadow of that big name Abraham. Isaac's only main life event was as a young man being taken by his father to be sacrificed. Isaac willingly laying on that altar. Isaac then later marries the beautiful and clever Rebekah. And from what we read, Isaac enjoys meals produced by his wife and sons. Isaac is, of course, in that line of Israel's patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And we read in chapter 35 of Genesis that Isaac lived to 180 years. Then we have Rebekah. She comes on the scene in Genesis chapter 24, when Abraham instructs his chief servant to go and find Isaac a wife. Rebekah is the granddaughter of Abraham's brother, a man called Nahor. And in chapter 24, verse 16, we are told she's very beautiful. And the next few verses we read about her being kind and willing, happily giving fresh water to Abraham's chief servant and drawing extra water up for the camel train, and then offering accommodation and food for them too. Then at the end of chapter 24 we read of the meeting of Isaac and Rebekah, of their wedding, and a rather touching extra note. She becomes his wife. It says he loved her. And when Isaac's mother died, Rebekah comforted him. However, in our reading, we also see Rebekah moving swiftly, getting her son Jacob in place of Esau for that elder son's blessing, offering to take the curse in chapter 27, that curse that may fall on them for the deception. Indeed, she did suffer because of what happened to Esau. Esau held a grudge against his twin brother Jacob, and so Jacob fled and had to live away from his mother for the rest of her life. Then we have Esau and Jacob. We read of their birth in chapter 25 of Genesis, verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb and two peoples from within you will be separated. One will be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first came out, was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home amongst the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. From that we get quite a picture of Esau being very much the outdoor type, enjoying the hunt and the great outdoors. Perhaps a bit selfish, charging about doing what he liked. Not very interested in the people of the tribe. Jacob, on the other hand, being more of a townsman, being around the tents, probably well known by all, maybe with a character more suited to being a leader of the tribe. Taken on its own, our reading, chapter 27 of Genesis, is quite strange. And we need to stand back and take on the broader view. That message from God while the babes were still in Rebekah's womb. The Lord said to her, "The two nations are in your womb. Two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger." Esau did become the patriarch of Edom. And in Genesis 32, we read of Jacob wrestling with God, his hip being put out of joint. And then God renaming him Israel in verse 28. Jacob then goes on to produce 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. That prophecy, that deal is struck between Jacob and Esau in Genesis 25. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I am famished." Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate, drank, and got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Considering the prophecy, that word from God to Rebecca while she carried the yet unborn children, it is less surprising that Esau behaved the way he did, giving away his birthright, and that Rebecca was willing to move so fast when Isaac offered that blessing. Rebecca, possibly with a plan in her head, some of Esau's clothes and a goat recipe ready to hand, knowing the day was coming when the poor sighted and aging Isaac would naturally offer his blessing to the eldest son. And yet, when Esau realized what he'd passed over to his brother for a bowl of soup years before, Esau was devastated, weeping out loud. That two-part question, do we take the short-term view or the long-term view? And what blessing could we reject or accept? We've been looking at an Old Testament historical event of 4,000 years ago. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob being the patriarchs of a nation. The nation of Israel. Israel being God's people. We are bound to view this through our Western modern eyes. But better than that, let's use our New Testament eyes. There is a blessing on offer, not just to one, but to each and every one. Our Heavenly Father offers it. Although we must recognize that we've been living our own way, seeking our own lifestyle, instead of that of the tribe of God's people. We've come rushing in, famished and given away, indeed despised our birthright. But the good news is that Jesus has bought it back for us. Bought it back for each and every one of us. As we celebrate Holy Communion, commemorating our redemption by that awful, cruel death on the cross and Jesus Christ's resurrection, why not pause for a moment? Let's say sorry for our despising and our selfish way. Say thank you for the offer of forgiveness for our sin. Accept the adoption, the inheritance into God's family. Let's not leave here tonight without receiving that blessing on offer. Don't risk being like Esau, weeping out loud when the final day comes. Amen.